Here in the United States, nearly every facet of the military is in transition. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld briefed the president this week on his ongoing appraisal of U.S. defense strategy and is in the midst of a review mandated by Congress. The Defense Department budget is wending its way through Congress. A new chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is expected to be announced soon. And Mr. Rumsfeld is trying to persuade top military officers who are accustomed to the rigors of conventional war to embrace a controversial and largely untried national missile defense system. Joining us now to discuss Secretary Rumsfeld are Michael O'Hanlon, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
And Thomas Donnelly, Deputy Executive Director of the Project for the New American Century.
Thank you very much
for being with us, Mr. Donnelly, both in their studios. There have been complaints, gentlemen, if I may ask you in turn, Mr. O'Hanlon and Mr. Donnelly, that Secretary Rumsfeld has not been consulting enough uniformed officers. This is the second time he's run the department. He presumably keeps up his level of knowledge. Is this a valid complaint?
Let me say two things. One of them nice about Rumsfeld. I think he had at least a kernel of wisdom to what he was trying to do. Mm-hmm. He was trying to listen and think and learn before he started tipping his cards and showing his hand. Because if you start showing which entrenched interests at the Pentagon you want to challenge, people will rally against you in a big way. So I think that part of his strategy was right, but he went too far. He not only didn't talk very much, he didn't listen enough, he didn't have enough meetings, he didn't consult enough, he seemed too detached and insular. Some of the criticism became unfair, but there certainly was a lot to it.
Mr. Donnelly?
I would say that, in fact, he really should have come in charging harder from the start. The decisions that he faces are very difficult, but they're kind of macro political decisions about what the military is supposed to do, what the role of the country is in the world, and how much to spend on it. That requires leadership and a certain iron hand in sort of enforcing your will in the bureaucracy. Unfortunately, Rumsfeld has sort of languished without making any serious decisions during the last 6 or 8 months, and so perhaps squandered the opportunity that he had.
What about what's reported to be one of Mr. Rumsfeld's central interests, which is in declaring that the United States no longer has an interest in preparing to fight a conventional war on two fronts?
I think that's a huge mistake. I think that sort of is the measure of a global power. You have to be able to operate in more places than one. Otherwise, it becomes a capability that you're very reluctant to employ. A one-war strategy tends to devolve into a no-war strategy. You know, there are three central strategic concerns we have, and that's the peace and stability of Europe, the Middle East, including the Persian Gulf, and East Asia. If we intend to maintain our position as the sole superpower, we have to be able to maintain the security and the stability and the peace of those regions. They're no longer connected to one another the way they were during the Cold War. They're not different facets of this global struggle against a rival superpower. So now they're sort of separate theaters. We need to be able to respond to crises in all of them.
Mr. O'Hanlon?
Well, I think Tom's right that you need some kind of a two-front capability, but I also think Rumsfeld is correct to say the one we've got today is wrong and perhaps excessive in its pessimism about two particular potential foes, the Iraqis and the North Koreans. Mm-hmm. We essentially have enough force to fight both these countries at the same time. That's the sort of option we might want if we do go to war again, but the idea of doing this in two places at the same time, I think, is so unlikely as to no longer be the best basis for force planning. On the other hand, you have to think hard about what you replace it with. You need a robust one-war winning capability plus a second serious simultaneous combat force, which may not have every single option available to it, but can still put up a very robust defense and begin some counteroffensive operations on its own. So I'm still optimistic that Rumsfeld is going to come up with a reasonable alternative, but you've got to have a two-front capability of some kind.
Mm-hmm. In your judgment, does this administration want to invest so much money in national missile defense that it does overdramatize the threat and run the risk of putting the United States out of strategic position?
Yes, I think they are going too far. I think that we should have two or three technologies that we look into very seriously and plan to deploy. We should get beyond the ABM treaty. The administration is right about doing those kinds of things. But it wants to develop 7 or 8 kinds of long-range missile defense capability. It wants to throw away any and all concept of restraint. That's going to be fundamentally unsettling to Russia. I am not optimistic about these potential talks with Moscow and Washington. I don't think Russia is going to be strategic. Reassured, mm-hmm. And that could have implications for Russia's willingness to cooperate with us on many other security problems around the world, and also for China's willingness to do so.
Mr. Donnelly?
Today, the United States is the object of deterrence in the world, and this is why the Saddam Husseins and the Kim Jong-ils of the world want to acquire ballistic missile technology with nuclear warheads especially. because they know, as a Chinese military officer said, we are not willing to trade Los Angeles for Taipei, and neither are we willing to trade London or Paris or Tokyo. I'm agnostic about what the talks with Russia will produce. Mm-hmm. But again, that's not the important thing that we should be worried about. The nuclear equation in the world is vastly more complex than it was. It's no longer solely the U.S.-Russia balance, and we need to adjust our forces to accommodate the new realities.
Mm-hmm. How big is the budget right now?
Budget's about $300 billion, and it's slated to go up about 10% in 2002, which is, you know, quite a bit more than the rate of inflation, quite a bit more than any other part of the government's accounts. So even though Tom and I share an interest in seeing that number go up, I question whether it's really plausible that number is going to keep going up. After all, it's a democracy in peacetime that already outspends the world's next eight military powers. I just don't think politically you can expect much bigger increases in the years ahead.
The possibility of a new round of base closings was raised this week. How does this affect the political environment in which these decisions are now going to be made?
A little difficult to say because the political environment for base closings has been so poisoned by the past 10 years or so. The Pentagon thinks that this is an efficiency measure meant to save money over the long haul, but the payback period is really quite long. I would say it faces uncertain prospects.
The bottom line, though, is you got to do it. There's not going to be enough money for everything. There's not going to be a big increase in the military budget beyond the 2002 increase. And, $3 billion a year of savings is real money, even by Pentagon standards. We need to close unneeded bases.
The new Joint Chiefs of Staff, whoever he or she may be, will Mr. Rumsfeld's choice, the president's choice ultimately, say much about the direction of this nation's military policy over the next few years?
I would say yes, because if he chooses, for example, Admiral Blair from the Pacific Command, that suggests he wants someone who thinks strategically, who thinks operationally, who's been out in the field, who's been looking at China, who's been looking at allies, and is very much in the politics of defense as well as in the technology and budgets. If he chooses a person who's been at Space Command or Strategic Command, that suggests more of a focus on technology, on preparing for future warfare. So there is that basic way to understand the choice before him, a more traditional, broad, strategic choice versus a technology-oriented choice.
Gentlemen, thank you both very much.
My pleasure.
Thomas Donnelly, Deputy Executive Director of the Project for the New American Century, and Michael O'Hanlon, a Senior Fellow at the Brookings Institution.